Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpenny, Head of Research, Global Markets, EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 12th April 2024, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Simon Mays, Head of UK, Ireland and Swiss Corporate Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Hi, Derek. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Hi, Simon. Good to be here.
It's been a pretty quiet couple of weeks in the FX markets, but this week finally it seems like quite a significant one. We've had a bit of a pickup in FX volatility after the US inflation data and the ECB meeting yesterday. So what do you think are the implications for FX going forward from these developments, and in particular for the dollar? It looks like the dollar's starting to break higher again.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. I think short term, for sure, it's a bit of a game changer for the FX outlook. Regular listeners will remember me talking about this kind of lovely synchronized easing that was priced into the curves in terms of the major G10 central banks going forward, which was killing volatility in FX. But now we have some kind of trading divergence views out there, which obviously, as you said, Simon, has been fueled by the CPI on Wednesday and then the ECB yesterday. But on the CPI, look, it was definitely a stronger figure. The markets were particularly spooked by the fact that even outside of rents in the services sector, there was some signs of a pickup in inflation. So it was a bit more broad-based. But, you know, rents was still nearly about 50% of the overall pickup in core services inflation. So, you know, that rental issue in terms of this particularly long lag with coming down to reflect the reality, which is that rental prices have come pretty much back down to pre-COVID levels. That's still unfolding. You know, Powell's been asked about this often, and at the last press conference, I think he was asked about it. And, you know, the Fed don't even have a full answer for it, but it does feel to be technical rather than a kind of an actual inflation problem. But nonetheless, you know, it correctly means, I think, that a June rate cut is looking more and more implausible. So from our perspective, you know, we have to change our forecast. We had 109 euro dollar by the end of June on the premise of a Fed cut in June. And with that now not happening, and with this kind of divergence theme in the markets, I think it's definitely opened up the path to a move to the downside. Euro dollar 2-year swap rate, indicative of spot rate dropping below 105, maybe 102, 103. I don't necessarily think we'll get there, but just purely based on the 2-year swap, that's where we look like we could get to. Also, I think the ECB, you know, we were expecting, and I think the market was expecting, that reference to rates, policy rates remaining high for a sufficiently long duration. I think the markets were expecting that to be removed from the statement, and it was removed. But the ECB went a bit further than that. They kind of laid out the kind of scenarios or the conditions for a cut in rates. And those conditions are pretty much, in my view anyway, already largely met. The first condition was the inflation assessment from the ECB. We've got the forecasts in June, but the forecasts in March pretty much are close to, if not at, the definition of price stability. The second condition was that the underlying inflation dynamics improve further. They have been improving. And the wage data that we're getting at the moment, and again, the ECB acknowledged this, that wages are coming down. And that's the big kind of issue linked to the underlying services components that have remained a bit stickier. But they're improving, so that's in place really going forward, unless that dramatically stops, which I think is unlikely. And then the third condition was the policy transmission mechanism continued to kind of show that it was working. And of course, the bank lending survey, which was released this week, clearly showed that with the demand for loans dropping significantly. So again, all of these conditions are in place. So it's kind of like, well, if the status quo continues, we're going to cut. So I think it was a pretty strong signal of a cut to come. So I think June is pretty much a done deal. So suddenly now, after the Bank of Canada meeting again this week, the Bank of Canada were much more confident about inflation coming down. They want to see a bit more evidence, but June was definitely in play based on the communication from the Bank of Canada. We've had very weak inflation data today from Sweden. So the Riksbank is now in play for a cut in May. So there you have the Riksbank, the ECB, Bank of Canada, probably the SNB again, all cutting before we get to the first cut in from the Fed, which now looks like at the earliest being in July. So there is a window there. And I call it a window because I don't think this is a permanent feature. I think this window will close. But yeah, we need to see inflation coming down in the US and more compelling evidence of labor demand slowing. And, again, regular listeners will know our view is that is going to materialize, but obviously we have to push that view back a bit. But once that starts to materialize during the summer and then the Fed starts to cut in July, then I think, the scope for the dollar to strengthen further would be a lot less come that moment in time. So there's a window there, month or two, I would argue. But in that scale, in that time period, certainly further dollar strength looks quite likely.
And you mentioned that the divergence there between the Fed and the dollar and other currencies. Where does the Bank of England and sterling come into that?
A little bit different. Certainly, I would argue the data in Europe is improving as well. Like we had German industrial production figures this week, which were much stronger than expected. The PMIs are improving, not dramatically, but we're looking like in a better economic position than we have been over the last certainly 12 to 18 months. Maybe the data is improving a little bit more clearly in the UK. So the GDP data today looks like we could get certainly a 0.2, possibly even a 0.3 quarter on quarter print in Q1. The Bank of England was only expecting 0.1. And of course, services inflation, the dynamics that are problems elsewhere is more problematic in the UK. And in that sense, there's every justification for the Bank of England holding off for longer. We had Megan Green spoke interview in the FT. And, she is one of the more hawkish members of the MPC. So it's no big surprise. But certainly reading her arguments post the US CPI, they look more credible. And in that sense, I think it's correct to assume August, possibly if the Fed don't go in July, even September for the Bank of England. So again, given the dynamics changing in terms of the dollar view, the pound could still perform well, but perhaps finally we might see euro sterling move to the downside.
Thank you. So I guess looking forward to the coming week and beyond that, what are the key FX themes or event risks that our listeners should look out for?
Yeah, well, I think, again, part of what's happened this week, which will be important going into next week, is dollar-yen breaking above the 152 level. So we're at new highs. We've continued to have the rhetoric from both Finance Minister Suzuki and Vice Finance Minister for International Affairs, Kanda. Of course, sounding maybe a little bit more hollow now, given the fact that they're not acting. Although I think there's pretty good justification for them not acting. Firstly, Prime Minister Kishida is in Washington. He spoke. He made an address to Congress yesterday. There was no way Kishida wanted to be in Washington when his authorities were selling dollar through intervention. So, I think this week was difficult from a political perspective. But I think also, given the fact that we've been consolidating below 152 pretty much since the middle of March, it's hard to argue there's been excessive moves to justify intervention. So I think that hasn't really materialized yet either. And then finally, and possibly most importantly, when you look at FX performance this week, the yen is actually the next best performing currency after the dollar. So clearly the rhetoric is working and the move higher in dollar yen has been more subdued than the dollar moves elsewhere. And again, from an excessive move or for looking for reasons to argue there's been speculative selling, it's not there given that performance. Now that could all change next week, because I do think day by day, the longer we don't get intervention, maybe again, if the broader dollar continues to improve, there could be more conviction about a kind of a sea change shift in policy and people start talking about 155, 160 as being the new thresholds. And that could reinvigorate speculative selling. And I think then pretty quickly they'll come in. So I don't think there's been a kind of a shift in thinking. It's been difficult this week for those reasons. And if those reasons start to change, well, obviously Kishida will be back in Tokyo at the weekend. The other reasons start to change, then I think they'll be pretty quickly in and intervening pretty aggressively. Because politically, of course, as I've said here before, weaker yen reinforces the cost of living complaints from Japanese households. There's an election on the horizon. Politically, it would be quite damaging just to allow this to continue.
Makes sense. So with all the above sort of in mind, we've got the weekly publication out again. Do you have any updates on the trading ideas for that?
Yeah, well, based on some of the comments I've made, I'm just talking about the theme on the yen, we've kept the short Swiss yen trading idea. So despite this break higher in dollar yen, Swiss yen actually has actually pretty much remained stable. Going back to what I said about the yen outperforming most other currencies, it's been close to performing similarly with the Swiss franc. So even though we've had this break higher, Swiss yen has remained where it is. And given now, I think intervention risks will gradually start to rise. I still think it's a good trade to have on. And of course, the Swiss National Bank have cut, and I think they'll cut again in June. And then again, the weak inflation data from Sweden, Euro stockies had a bounce higher on the back of that. May now is being priced with more conviction for the Riksbank first rate cut. And again, that should help Euro stocky, especially if the dollar continues to strengthen more broadly. So yeah, holding those views for now, and we think they've got scope to move further in our favour.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast. Rate, review and subscribe. Contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.